All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords. Noram joins us for Keyword News. Good morning, Aram.
Good morning, Sunny.
TGIF.
I know. We've made it through the week. It's gone by quite quickly for me. How about you?
Very, just a zoom by for me too.
Yeah.
Finally Friday.
It's a bit distracting because I'd like to see your face through this glass, but there's a mic and a Christmas tree in the way.
It's very festive.
It's very distractive, but yeah.
Yeah. So Aram, we'll go into our keywords. This is our first pick of today.
Toughened virus curbs likely.
So with COVID cases hitting new highs and the Omicron variant causing the concern, the government is reportedly looking to toughen virus curbs. So what do we know so far?
Yeah, so nothing official yet, just to get that out of the way. But Yonhap is reporting that private gatherings could be restricted to 6 people in the capital area and 8 in non-capital regions. Mm. And only one unvaccinated person would be allowed to join the groups. Okay. Now, the toughened measures are said to be effective for the next 4 weeks. Now, the vaccine pass system is also reportedly going to be expanded to places like restaurants and cafes, and basically places where customers tend to take off their masks. Mm. So, for example, places like libraries would not be subject to the new rule, or study cafes, because a lot of people who frequent those places tend to keep their masks on in the premises. Now, vaccine passes may also be mandatory or strongly recommended for teenagers under 18 from next February. That's taking into account the time it takes for these young people to get inoculated. So they feel that next February is probably a good time to get these vaccine passes implemented for that age group. Now, the government reportedly discussed possibly going back to the level 4 social distancing measures that we saw before the living with COVID scheme. So no more than 2 people after 6 p.m. and very tough measures there, and also including the 10 p.m. curfews,
right?
And even more restrictions on private gatherings. But officials decided that would be too much of a toll on the public and, of course, especially small businesses as well.
Mm.
Now, an announcement on the decided measures will be announced at today's 11 a.m. briefing, so just in a few hours' time.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on that. Toughened measures will be effective for the next 4 weeks, you said, so pretty much until the end of the year. Turning to our second keyword of the day.
Omicron transmissibility.
Experts in South Africa say the Omicron variant of COVID-19 appears to be more infectious than previous strains. Run us through the details.
Yes, according to new evidence collected in South Africa by its National Institute for Communicable Diseases, Omicron can evade immunity from infection with earlier variants and is causing reinfections at 3 times previous rates. So this basically means that if you've had a COVID infection before, despite whatever variant it is, and developed immunity to it, it might not stop the new variant Omicron from infecting you.
Right.
Experts warn that the number of cases in the country will increase exponentially in all provinces of the country. Now, the NICD says vaccines are still the best weapon against severe disease. That seems to be the consensus across a number of experts. Now, it also said initial data suggests that Omicron may provoke less severe illness than previous variants as well. But that may be skewed by the fact that many of the first Omicron cases have been identified in younger individuals or detected in very recently screened travelers who may not yet have approached that severity yet. Hopefully not, though. There is no conclusive evidence about Omicron's transmissibility so far, but the WHO's lead person on COVID-19 says the agency expected to have data on this within days. So, of course, it's still early days in regards to this Omicron variant. A lot of studies, researches are being done. We'll just have to keep our eyes open.
Yes. The variant is certainly spreading very quickly in Europe and many places, toughening virus curves. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, things are pretty concerning over in Europe. Out of 27 EU nations, Omicron has been reported in 14 of them, so just nearly half. If we exclude EU members, the UK, Switzerland, Switzerland, Norway and Iceland, then the number comes to 18 in the continent. Europe has so far recorded 79 cases in total of the Omicron variant. Half of those cases were asymptomatic and the other half showed only mild symptoms. So I think we can find some solace in that. Yeah. There were no cases featuring severe disease, hospitalization or death. So that was quite fortunate. Now, the majority were young and fully inoculated, though. The EU Health Agency says the Omicron variant could actually cause more than half of all COVID infections in Europe in the coming months, so becoming the dominant strain, basically. Yeah. And this could lead to risks of the variant spreading to more vulnerable groups as well.
And if we talk a little bit about the United States, President Joe Biden has unveiled what he's calling a new coronavirus action plan for this winter.
This came as U.S. officials confirmed two more cases of the Omicron variant, so not as concerning as in the EU, but it seems the Biden administration is taking action, and the plan consists of steps to encourage all adults to get their booster vaccines. Yeah. This includes through a public education campaign and more targeted outreach. Over 40 million Americans have received their boosters, but Biden said nearly 100 million more are eligible and have not yet had their shots. Hundreds of family vaccination clinics will be set up across the country in an attempt to increase vaccination rates among children and teenagers, especially. The plan will also make available millions of free at-home tests through private insurance companies for those who are covered, and also through health centers and rural clinics for those who do not. Now, the US will also accelerate the delivery of 200 million more vaccine doses abroad over the next 100 days. So it's doing its part to try and resolve this vaccine inequality that's been quite a concern lately.
Right.
Biden was quick to point out, though, that his plan doesn't include lockdowns and does not expand or add to federal vaccine mandates. And the White House is also laying out stricter testing requirements for international travel as well. All passengers must provide a negative test result within 24 hours of their departure, regardless of their vaccination status. So this action plan is basically an encouragement rather than a requirement. So this
is nothing mandated.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll turn to our third keyword of the day.
Budget passage delayed.
Bringing things back here in Korea, lawmakers are set to pass the government's 2022 budget later today. What's the latest?
Yeah, so this passage was actually postponed by a day. It was actually supposed to be passed yesterday,
last night.
But of course, as is the case with Korean politics, nothing is done on time. rival parties did agree, though, to convene a plenary session at 9 a.m. to handle the 607.7 trillion won budget proposal. The Democratic Party had initially planned to railroad the bill using its majority through a plenary session yesterday evening. But last-minute negotiations between the rival parties apparently caused a delay in the finance ministry's computation work. So apparently it was in the government's court where the delay came from. But it's only a day. Next year's budget is set to include 68 trillion won worth of support measures for small businesses hit by the pandemic. Compensation for business losses was raised from the current minimum of 100,000 won to 500,000 won. That's been quite an area of contention because the opposition People Power Party wanted that amount to be raised to 1 million won. And of course, this political bickering has been going on. Now, the total value of coupons to be issued next year to help people hit by the pandemic was also raised from the initially planned 6 trillion won to 30 trillion won. So basically, more support measures for people and businesses that have been hit by this pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, delays usually happen. And I think floor leaders were saying they're, you know, ultimately, they weren't able to reach kind of an agreement.
Well, they never do, do they?
And moving to our fourth keyword of the day.
Push for end of war declaration.
So President Moon Jae-in has met with visiting U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. What did they discuss?
Yeah, Moon asked for Washington's support for Seoul's efforts to declare a formal end to the Korean War. Moon said the push for an end of war declaration is aimed at bringing North Korea back to dialogue, as well as handing over the mood for dialogue to South Korea's next government. Of course, we have a presidential election in just a few months' time. Moon asked the U.S. to pay continued attention to Seoul's Seoul's move as well. Mm. He added that the allies' close coordination is the most important factor to bring peace on the Korean Peninsula. Mm. Austin, on his part, expressed his respect for Moon's efforts to improve inter-Korean relations. He also noted that Washington is committed to engaging in diplomatic efforts with North Korea, so reiterating the Biden administration's kind of universal goal of saying the door is open to diplomacy when it comes to the North.
So a lot of discussions going on. I think the two sides also agreed on a new set of guidelines to respond to a lot of various wartime scenarios.
Yes.
And I believe this is our last keyword of the day.
Korea-China meeting.
South Korea's National Security Advisor Seo Hoon is in China for a meeting with China's top diplomat Yang Jiechi. What can we expect?
Yeah, so talks will likely focus on bilateral issues and, of course, North Korea issues. Seo is expected to share progress that was made between Seoul and Washington on the end-of-war declaration with Yang. China is believed to express its willingness via diplomatic channels to join an end-of-war declaration. Of course, China is one of the signatories to the 1953 Armistice Agreement. Mm-hmm. Now, before sitting down for these talks with Yang, Seo noted that the two countries have worked hard to achieve the goals of a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula, and also he expressed hope that those efforts will continue between Korea and China. Mm. He also thanked China for its cooperation with regard to the recent supply crunch of this diesel exhaust fluid, which has been skyrocketing in price.
Yeah.
Yang stressed the importance of and need for close strategic communications between the two nations as well. So basically, friendly comments back and forth.
Yeah, enhancing bilateral ties. I guess those strategic communications between China and Korea is very important going forward. Well, Adam, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking to you
this
week. Hopefully our paths may cross again sometime.
Hopefully they do.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.